30 seconds in, hit him with an F5. Hit it back so hard he feel it in the next life. Pull him over that shoulder just like a knapsack. Stocky man going down like the NASDAQ. No promise revenge, I know that I'll win. And I know that I'm holding that title again. It's that Lesnar for president, no election. We dictate this ring from the start to the end. Gone, punch him in the gut and hit him with a shoulder tuck. Hey, damn, man, you know what's up. Spinning, flipping, man, we gotta get him over up. Then we leave him like the covers, man, he folding up. First I hit him with a knee in the ring. Then he married to the sheets, let him sleep. German suplex, I make the best falling. Ask me who's next, we tell him Seth Rollins. Gone. Hit him with an F5. Hit him with an F5. Hit him with an F5, money in the bank. Now we hit him with an F5. Suplex city bitch, hit him with a German, hit him with a F5. Yeah, man, we hit him with a F5. Yeah, we hit him with a F5. Hit him with a F5. German first, then we hit him with a F5. Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast live stream. Tonight, I have the one and only professional wrestler, Ox Hog, real name Jared. And today, we are going to make a statement on the stigma of men's mental health. Jared, how are you doing today, brother?
Good. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Definitely. So, this is a stigma that plagues so many men in the United States. I mean, this just speaking statistics in the United States, 50,000 people commit suicide, and well over half of that is men. I feel like we go through life sometimes and we're told to, you can't speak or talk about it. You know, you just got to pick yourself up, be a man, and go forward. What are your thoughts?
I think the worst part you could ever do to anybody who's going through some kind of mental health dilemma is to downplay it. And I'm not talking about just having a bad day, because we all have bad days. Mm-hmm. But I think realizing that maybe something isn't right, and maybe something isn't just a couple bad days, it's not just a funk, it's something that maybe there is something else going on, whether it be from heredity, you know, a life event such as a divorce or a loss of a job or anything like that, to tell somebody that, you know, get over it, man up, you know, you can't handle your shit or whatever like that. That people are just ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant in the sense of being rude. They're ignorant because they're dumb. Because yeah. I'll tell you, some of the toughest guys I know in the pro wrestling business and in my, like we talked about, my, you know, real job, you know, mm-hmm. I work in a federal prison. Some of the toughest guys I know have sought out help. So you have to be able to, one, admit to yourself, which was hard for me at first, that what I'm doing isn't enough, and maybe I need to start seeing somebody or reach out to somebody to get some help. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is the first, that is the first line of defense against what you're going to be fighting, is to admit to yourself, I need, what I'm doing ain't working, I need some kind of help. And you can't let the stigma that men are weak if you go for help, or it's, you're a pussy because you're going for help. I mean, that's what keeps men from going for help, and ultimately in extreme cases, you know, people end up either in a real bad way or worse, taking their own life. And that's what we're trying to stop.
I couldn't agree with you more there, man. It's a we as a society have to find a way to break that cycle. You know, it because like we have so many generations, you know. I'm in my 40s, you're right around the same age. Our generation was taught not to feel, in a sense, for men. You know, my dad, he was part of the Vietnam War. So I mean, he was leather skinned and you know, you didn't talk about it. You know, you're having a bad day. Ah, tomorrow's another one. But at the same time, though, it's like you have to have that little bit of break to say to yourself, you can do this, you can change. It's okay to talk, it's okay to open up. On your daily job that you do as a prison guard, how do you cope with a lot of the stuff that you see on a daily basis? I mean, I know you go to the gym.
The gym is good for everybody and anybody. What you do. The first thing the gym brings to you is mental clarity. Whether people realize it or not, like I always laugh. I say, if I didn't go to the gym, I'd probably be in prison and not working in prison. Because gym teaches discipline and it teaches mental clarity. It makes you feel better about yourself that you were there. I mean, for me, that's always been my go-to. But I mean, honestly, like guys I work with, there's a couple of them that, you know, I could just tell them, listen, rotten day today. You know what I mean? And they care enough to say, hey, what's going on? You know, whatever. And, you know, and prison's like a kind of like a real odd subculture, you know, outside the professionalism that you have to display throughout, you know, your day. You know, you're judged hard and fast when you're in, you know, when you start working. I was 23 when I started working in a federal prison system. I'm 47 now. And it thickens your skin. I mean, you get thick skin. But I mean, I have a lot of good friends that, you know, we make fun of each other. We're terrible to each other. You know what I mean? Things you would not say to anybody else. You know what I mean? Or if somebody said it to you, you'd probably puck them. But I mean, like, when it comes down to it, you know, I got a handful, you know, of guys that are, you know, they know I'm not ashamed of, you know, everybody knows I got, you know, I went for help. I go for help on the regular now. And
myself as well.
Yes. And the thing is like, I tell them maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, guys going through stuff, some are open to it, some ain't, and that's fine. I mean, I hope to God you don't need nothing. But I mean, like, you have a real good support system with some of the guys I work with and for being there so long, you know, so that helps. I mean, my wife, my family, my mom, you know, my father. My father's kind of like, he was kind of like, you know, the other way. You know, he was like, you know, he was more hardened by it, you know, like he's hardened. He's not one I just shouldn't say he's not one for help, but he was, you know, he was kind of like, you know, at first kind of like, you know, get over it, do it. You know what I mean? And I think he's come a long way with it. And I think, you know, I think I always say if he can accept it and understand it, then anybody can, because he's hard-headed as they come, you know.
Yeah,
he's in his 70s and he's, you know, he knows everything too, you know what I mean? So you know, he's if he can do it, if he can understand it, I say anybody can. But I just think, you know, it's so simple, even to the day, even on a day-to-day, even if you're having a bad day, if you have somebody you could just talk to, it don't have to be a psychiatrist or somebody. Hey, listen, man, I'm, you know, I ain't got it today. You know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever. If you have that and you have that relationship with somebody, that is huge. Absolutely huge, you know? So I think, you know, like there's so many different avenues you could take with trying to help yourself as long as you're comfortable enough with speaking up.
And that's the biggest part is inside, being able to finally break that exterior to finally open up about what's going on. I think, personally, for me, in some instances over the years, it's I didn't open up to the people close to me because I was, I don't want to say I was fear of being judged. It was just, those were the people around me. I had an easier time talking to somebody that didn't know me whatsoever, you know, like going to therapy. Sometimes that helps if it's just a stranger and nobody knows, you know, who you are. And there are hotlines for it. What's that?
And you're not judged.
No, no, not at all. There is a text hotline. It's 988. I know it's labeled the suicide hotline, but you can text it at any point in time and somebody will just get back to you and you can just talk. If there's, you know, you're having a rough day, you feel like everything's falling apart inside. I mean, the outlets are out there, especially in a day of technology.
Yeah, because, I mean, years ago we didn't have, I mean, we don't have this, we didn't have the social media. We didn't have, you know, like, you didn't have things like this. I mean, it's silly to the point of, I don't want to say stupid, but it is. If you have something that you think, if you're, you have to realize that it's not only you that goes through it when you're dealing with this stuff and you're suffering with this stuff. It's, if you're not going to do it for you, do it for your family, do it for your wife, do it for your, you know, significant other, do it for your children. And, you know, do it to improve your quality of life. No matter what job you have or no matter what state you're in, what what your mental health state or your, you know, your financial state or whatever. I mean, there's people that I have known that have, you know, very, very well off. And you would think, what would they have to be depressed for? They have all this money. They have beautiful homes. They have, you know, beautiful kids. They have all this stuff. And guess what? They still are. And, you know, like, if you see somebody hurting, try and help them. That's the best thing I could tell anybody. Because if you don't, I don't ever want to be the guy that says I should have because something worse happened. You know, I rather overreact a little bit to it, you know?
Yes, 100%. I can respect that beyond belief. You know, I would rather have the phone call something's wrong than the phone call from somebody else saying they're not here.
Exactly.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. It ends up carrying a bigger weight in the end. I always felt like if you cultivate kindness, and even if it's just a simple act of, hey, how you doing? And they go, eh, you know, every guy says, I'm fine. We know the typical I'm fine. It's like your wife saying, yeah, sure. You know something wrong is behind it, but you kind of don't want to cross that threshold because you don't know what's next for that person.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And I think in those moments there, just throw it to the side and say, what's going on? And just sit down and bullshit. I as a bartender, I do that on a day. I used to do that on a daily. I met so many people from so many walks of life, and you just never knew what anybody was going through at all. I still remember a guy named Andy. This is going back probably to about 2001, 2002. And he came in, it's Christmas Eve. He comes in, he sits down at the bar, and I just knew something was off with him. You know, like what's going on? He just sat there staring at his beer. And finally, after about 20 minutes, I walked down the bar and I said, man, I'm going to be very open and honest with you. And this was kind of like a trigger in my head to like maybe say something. I said, you don't look like you're doing too good. And I know the holidays can be really rough on people. What's going on? And he said, I just lost my wife to cancer today. I sat with him till 6 a.m. Christmas Day and just let him talk about his wife. And he shook my hand and said, thank you. Without that there, he goes, I probably would have seen her sooner than later. You know, you never know.
You don't. And you guaranteed saved that man's life.
You just never know. You know, for years, he passed away now. He was, let's see, when I first met him, he was probably about, I'd say 59. But yeah, he followed me around for at least 10 years after that. Just, you know, every once in a while, I just say thank you. He wouldn't make a big thing of it, but we just became friends and shot the shit for at least 10 years after that moment. Sometimes the darkest times can bring out really good friends and you don't even know it.
And a lot of times are the ones you wouldn't expect.
Exactly.
Some people, and throughout my life, and what I, you know, I guess everybody throughout all walks of life, a lot of times, you know, they always say when you're going through the hard stuff is when, you know, you find out when it's all easy, you know, everybody's great, you know, everybody's, you know, your buddy, and but it's when you go through that real hard stuff is when you find out who's really, you know, who's really checking on you, who's really, you know, seeing what's going on, who's really, you know, not the whispering behind the back, or, you know what I mean? All that stuff, you know? And I mean, when I started, like, mental health issues ran in my family from generations before. So I was kind of, I want to say, like, maybe a little predisposed. And when I was young, I was quiet. I was, you know, I was a little anxious, but not nothing crazy. As I got older, you know, I teenage, you know, of course I knew everything and nothing bothered me. And then, you know, working in prison, like I said, it kind of hardens you. Like I always say, between wrestling and prison, there's not much I have not seen. You know what I mean?
I could imagine.
I have seen just about anything and everything you could imagine. Some of it I wish I didn't see. But, you know, I think knowing that you have somebody, like just a crutch if you need it, is when, you know, it, I think that's a good start. But I think when it, I think after that, you know, to a point, you almost have to, if you really want to get to the core of what your issue is, you know, you actually have to maybe go see somebody who is just more than a friend, or more than somebody who's going to tell you, look, it's going to be okay, you know, man up, or, you know, listen, a couple of days will be good, or, you know, hey, you need anything. That's all fine and dandy. And people laugh at me because most of my anxiety, I'm like anxiety, depression. That's my diagnosis. I'm high strung. And most of mine, 85 to 90% of mine, and people laugh at this, is it's health anxiety. And what brought it on was my father had a heart attack back in, I don't know, I want to say like 2018. He's still alive, but out of nowhere, he had a heart attack. When he had that heart attack, it was like, I don't know what it did, but it made me absolutely, like, terribly fearful of, like, death, being sick, whatever, you know? And it got to the point where, like, I was consumed by it. And I had to go, because if I didn't go, I was going to drive everybody around me to, like, they didn't know what else to do with me. And a lot of people didn't even know, but it was when I got home. It wasn't when I was at work. It wasn't when I was at the gym. It wasn't if I was wrestling. It was when I was home, when I was around people that, you know, I was comfortable, and I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? So it took, it took that to go. And I never told anybody I didn't tell people for a long time. And then I figured, you know, like, and I got talking to a guy here and there, and he was going through something, not health anxiety, but I explained to him, you know, what happened. And, you know, then I figured, you know what? I told everybody, anybody that was going through anything. And, you know, and like I said, you know, prison's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a touch and go. It's a macho place. You know what I mean? It's a, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, that guy's, you know, crazy. He can't, you know what I mean? But like, I told him, listen, I'm proud that I made the adjustments I needed to make to help me get through what I needed to get through. I take medicine. I see a therapist. You know what I mean? And I'm 110% good with it. And on top of that, like, all the information that's out there now on mental health issues, especially a lot of guys were athletes when they were young, or up to through college, or, you know, even now after college, you know, the documentation and the stuff, the information we have on, you know, concussions and you know, blows to the head trauma, what it's causing mental health wise, anxiety, depression, bipolar, you know, whatever, like all that information now, and it's something that I discuss with my psychiatrist, you know, it could contribute to, you know, some issues that you might have as you age.
Yeah.
So, you know, and with wrestling, you know, everybody knows what wrestling is. And my buddy Cinco, who I promised I would mention him on here, because he's one of my lifelines, but he's all into like the amateur wrestling, and you know, mm-hmm. I do the pro wrestling. So, you know, we go back and forth, and you know, we, you know, break each other's balls about it and all, but like I think that, you know, there's so much now that we have, like when Rob was on, I don't know, a week or two ago, and he said, mm-hmm. every time you take one of them bumps, everybody knows yep. what pro wrestling is. We all know what it is. It's scripted. It's, you know what I mean? It's not a secret, but I don't use the F word, you know, because the fake word, but
yeah.
Every time you take one of them bumps, your head gets rattled, whether you're getting hit or not, you know, and over the course of, you know, however long guys wrestle or how often guys wrestle, you know, your head takes, you know, your head takes, there's a decent amount of trauma, whether mm-hmm. you realize it or not. And I know when I was younger, probably same thing with you, if you played sports, you know, you had a concussion. It was none of this sitting out three games. You were, you know, they let you sit out a couple plays. They put the lights in your eyes and you were right back out there.
Yep.
You know, football, boxing, baseball, like, and most males are active in at least one sport or somewhere along the way. And it couldn't be anything. It don't have to be anything that happens to you. It could just be that.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's so much documentation now alluding to like how concussions can affect you, you know?
It's taking those bumps, your brain, picture it almost like a bowl of Jello being thrown against the wood board. I mean, that's kind of what happens when you take those bumps. Your brain stays stable. I mean, obviously, but you're still bouncing it off your skull on the inside, and scar tissue builds up. Just age can also deplete the chemical imbalance in a guy's body. Getting older alone can do it. You had mentioned earlier about going to your therapist. The other thing is, I think people are fearful about going to a therapist is they think nothing's going to change, but that therapist may ask the right questions to help change your mode of thinking to pull you out of that. You may get comfortable with your everyday life because it's been your everyday routine, but sometimes it's just a matter of that one person that could be a complete stranger that says that one question that completely changes your perspective of things. And it could be something that small that could change it. But us guys, we just say, you know what? Yeah, we'll push through it. And it's not that way.
No, and it's not. Everybody, life's hard. And we all know that. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs. Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nelly's Artistic Creations. And with the holiday season coming up, a nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
So it's sometimes, like I tell my wife all the time, sometimes your plate is full and sometimes your plate is overfull. When your plate's full, a lot of times you can adjust. Mm-hmm. When it's overfull, and I don't care, like we don't have any children. I don't have any kids. So I always tell, you know, my buddies that have, I don't know how you guys do it, because, you know, like you run to work, you come home, you know, there's parents that have, you know, have more than one child. One takes one to football, one takes one to this. You come home, you got to make dinner, you got to get homework done. You got to get to bed. You got to get up in the next day and you're doing it again and you're doing it again and you're doing it again. And people say, oh, that's life. And I understand that is life. I get it. But sometimes another variable is thrown in there. You know, mm-hmm. you lose a parent, you get laid off from your job, you lose some money, whatever. You lose, mm-hmm. you know, something, anything that makes it just too much. Yeah. So, okay, so one day it's too much, but then the next day, well, it's too much. Then the next day, it's too much. And you're finding that your coping skills that you have aren't really, you know, ain't getting a job.
Working for you. Yeah, they're not working.
Somebody else might have something else to offer you to help mm-hmm. you deal with, you know, the insanity that is, you know, life these days. I mean, I know people have good jobs and they still struggle with money because everything is so expensive. Everything is so, you know, gas and food. And, you know, you go to the grocery store, you know, I know for me and my wife now, I know I'm a bigger guy, but we spend $400, $400 every week. I can't imagine mm-hmm. having, you know, two or three kids and, you know, if somebody gets laid off or somebody gets, you know, like that's stressful.
Yes, it is. It's very stressful.
Sometimes coming home and talking to your wife about it or talking to a friend at work or talking to a friend, you know, whatever, is they might understand what you're going through, but they might not have the coping skills to help you deal with it mm-hmm. so you can help them. And as a man and as, you know, most, not saying it to offend anybody, most men are, you know, the provider of the house. They're the protector of the house. Mm-hmm. That's their job. You got to do it. If you're not doing it for you, do it for them.
Yeah. Most definitely. There was a meme or something I came across the other day, and I really didn't know how to take it. It said, there's a parent out there living because they still have kids. And I thought about that for a moment. And I was like, you know, as tough as that is to read, that happens quite often. A lot of parents go through life in silence like that, always wondering if, you know, they're providing enough, if they're doing right, if they're, you know, did I teach my kids well? They get older. Did I teach them enough to where they can sustain themselves in life? You, even after they leave, you constantly have these worries that are always going on. I mean, it's never ending. And people say it's part of life, but you got to find your ways to cope with that at the same time.
Yeah, there's no, you shouldn't have to suffer just because you're either too thick at it or because you're afraid of what people are going to think about you. At the end of the day, it's your life. It's your family. Exactly. It's your everything. And I'm, like I said before, I'm, you know, I've been in the wrestling business since 1998. I was 20 years old. I've been in mm-hmm. working in law enforcement since I'm 20, 21, 22. I've seen too many guys, too many people on both sides, you know, people I knew, not only since I've been in the prison, but you know, other jobs I've had, I've seen too many of them, you know, end their life because, you know, for whatever reason. And a lot of them weren't the guys that you'd ever think that they were. You'd never think it. And they always say, you know, somebody wants to do it, they're going to do it. They're going to find a way. But if you can fix and help one person, just mm-hmm. one person, just by being a decent human or maybe giving them some, you know, information to, you know, listen, man, I go. That's what I tell, you know, like if I know there's been a couple people that I, you know, I know they were going through some stuff and I thought, listen, I go, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not the most approachable person. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm no angel. Trust me. I go, it's okay. You know what I mean? There's no shame. Mm-hmm. In it. You put the shame in it. And a lot of times, you know, like, when they were doing the veterans, the 22 push-ups for 22 days for the veteran suicide.
Yeah.
That, when you have a veteran who defends our country, gives his life for our country, and is away from his family, and, you know, sees terrible, terrible things, you mm-hmm. know, does his job, and then he comes home and they suffer sometimes.
Oh, very much so.
To see a veteran end his life is absolutely 110% unacceptable to me.
This is where I can attest to that. My brother, stepbrother, real brother to the end. He was in Iraq and also did cleanup on Katrina. Those two things have affected him. And about 3 years ago, he took his own life from PTSD. It's not, trust me. I always say to people, you know, if you feel like something's wrong, just check on them. Just check on them. You know, it's one of those things that it's tough too, because the VA is so backed up right now. He was actually trying to get in for help, and there's just not enough programs out there right now. We got so many upper vets coming back and stuff like that, and then they don't know what to do or how to get help. And with everything going on in the world in this country nowadays, I think we should be investing more funding into that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. They should get first dibs on absolutely anything and everything that you can get dibs on. Mm-hmm. And to have that, you know, going on, and the 22 push-ups thing was great because it brought a lot of awareness. Mm-hmm. It brought awareness to people. I think it brought awareness to, like, I was never in the military, so it brought awareness to me and the people who, you know, didn't know. Mm-hmm. But what they got to start doing something to take care of them the minute that they're done. The minute that, even when they're there, even if they're there, things that they're seeing and going through, you have to take better care of our veterans first.
Yeah. Even if it's a program that helps them get acclimated to what it's like to civilian life again, yes, to slowly wean them back into it. I think that would be a great thing as well, because a lot of them go from, this is your regiment every single day. You know, we're down, you know, as the Army says, rush to wait. Was one of his famous lines he would always use. I feel like they just get thrown back into a mix of society where it's like, you don't have that daily regimen. You don't have somebody telling you, this is what you're going to do. And there's five other people doing a job behind you that you don't even have to worry about because everybody's working as a cohesive unit. They come back into the real world, and it's like pandemonium for them.
Yes. Yeah. And it's probably more, I know from some of the guys I talk to, it's more stressful, I think, when they come back than what they had to deal mm-hmm. with over there. You know what I mean? Because they just get so, you know, acclimated to it. It's, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a big thing that I think our veterans should be put at the front first of the line. First and foremost, absolutely. And like I said, being in being involved with, you know, I was never a trooper or a cop or anything. I always worked in prison. But even in that, you know, there's the suicide rate in law enforcement is extremely high. You know, yeah. divorce rates extremely high. You know, because it is, you know, it's a, you know, people, you know, long hours sometimes, and you things you see, it makes you, you know, you're not always, you know, perky or, you know, good mood, mm-hmm. or, there's a lot of times you have things, you know, going on and you say, hey, listen, you know, I always say, if you have anything going on that day that you have to make mm-hmm. it to, call in sick, you know, because, yeah. you know, if there's a birthday party or something like that, there's no guarantee all the time you're getting out, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that causes a lot too, like like what you see, and, you know, not all administration and, you know, supervisors on any job are always mm-hmm. the most, you know, understanding with things, you know. I think and that's, you know, for any job, you know, but I think, you know, I think there should be some more things in place for veterans, people in law enforcement, people, you know, just in, even in general, you know, the information's out there now. The thing is,
it's readily accessible.
Getting people to take that, once you take the first step, it's easier to take the second.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And that's, I know you can attest to that. I know I can attest to that. Once you make that leap, it just, you go, you look back and you go, why was I so stubborn about that?
Exactly.
Like why? You almost kick yourself in the ass over and over again about it.
When I first went, I refused to go. My wife wanted me to go. Oh my God. We weren't even married yet. We were just dating and she wanted me to go. And I refused to go. Refused. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where like it was causing a lot more problems than, and I was like, you know what? I'll go. I'll shut her up. I'll go. Mm-hmm. And when I went, I was like, you know, I started feeling better after a little bit. And I was like, God, why did I fight this so long? You know, and that's what I think it's real important, if nothing else, for, you know, men or anybody, you know, you're not alone. You're not a wimp. You're not a pussy. You're not whatever. Nope. You shouldn't be ashamed. If you had cancer, would you be ashamed of it? You know what I mean? So get the help you need to improve your quality of life and to help and improve your family's quality of life.
1,000,000% agree with that.
Let your children know, you know, when you're, you know, and the kids can be horrible, man. I'll tell you, some kids, oh my God, can be terrible, you know, but, and that's, you know, kids being kids and boys being boys. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, once you start getting a little older, you know, I think, you know, I don't think it's bad. Some people are, you know, I'm not saying medication wise, but I think therapy wise, you know, talk to some kids are a little bit, maybe a little bit more open with a stranger and they're not afraid of telling, mm-hmm. I don't want to tell my mom and dad that because, you know, they're going to get mad, you know, whereas mm-hmm. someone else would be like, okay, you know, at least they can tell mom and dad that, you know, but like, I think, like I said, like the jobs, the stress, money. And I always, you know, athletics was one of the best things that ever happened to me. It kept me in line. It kept me disciplined. The gym kept me disciplined. On the other hand, you know, I'm a total proponent of kids playing sports as young as they can. But two, you have to remember, just like with everything else, sometimes, you know, later on in life, things you do when you're younger come back and you got to, you know, maybe fix it a little bit, tune it up. Get checked. Just, you know what I mean? Yeah. Go, just don't be afraid to say, hey, listen, you know, I played football for, you know, 20 years and I had, you know, I don't know, 8 concussions, you know, like I'm starting to feel a little weird about this. You know, I'm starting to feel, you know, I don't know if it's because of that or life or whatever. And let the experts figure it out, you know?
Yes. It's that littlest thing of taking that first step. You know, it seems like this big thing, like, oh, I don't know if I can fucking do it. I don't know if this can happen or that can happen. But ultimately, yeah, though, like there's been nights I've sat at home by myself, everybody else is asleep. I'm up worrying, locked in my own mind. And instead of extending out those hours and hours and hours, I should have just taken the 2 minutes, set up the appointment, and went. And ultimately, in the end, I felt much better. It helped. I mean, but I've dealt with depression for a very long time. And being on a bartender schedule, sometimes you have nothing but time on your hands at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And instead of tormenting myself for those hours of depression, I should have just taken the steps to begin with. And I would have felt so much better. But like you said before, sometimes it takes an outside influence to gently push you, but it all comes from inside.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take that first one.
I agree. 100%.
And since we're talking about, you know, the stigma of men's mental health, I also have these nifty stickers here. It says suplex the stigma. That's what we're trying to do, you know, one guy at a time here, because we have to stick together with this. Like I said, I spend too many nights alone in my head, and I think a lot of guys do on a daily basis. Doesn't matter what time of day it is, you know, the more we start joining together about this, the easier it gets, and we can support one another. I know one time when I had Rob on the show, he said maybe we should figure out something that, you know, kind of, not to sound sexist, but kind of like a men's club or something like that, where guys can get together and just break it, you know, and just bullshit. Like, how's life? Oh, I'm going through this and feeling this way these days. You know, understandable. Like, I can relate to you. Like, sometimes having a relation to what somebody else is going through kind of gives a comforting feeling. And I think us as guys maybe should start looking at going back to like the 1920s when we had the men's clubs and stuff like that, but not in the sexist way in today's generation. But, you know, I think we need that.
I agree. And I know Rob 20 years. And, you know, Rob is one of my best friends in wrestling and out. And, you know, I could call him at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I need this. And he's not the only one. There's a couple more. But as far as, you know, wrestling's a real dirty business. I'm not going to lie. It's a business, and all businesses, you know, a lot of businesses are dirty. But wrestling is, you know, wrestling's on its own little level. But me and Rob have beaten the shit out of each other for, I can't tell you how many times, but Rob, in our stig was always good friends, better enemies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Rob has, you know, we have talked so many times about, you know, concussions and you know, just everything. You know, we talk, you know, about, you know, I always say he's, you know, my father and my mother had me and my brother. And I always say Rob is like my dad's third kid, because he loves Rob. You know what I mean? Like, he'll ask me, you know, how Rob's doing before he'll ask me how I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and
yeah,
you know, Rob is he's as hardcore. He is, and I don't mean hardcore like, you know, his wrestling, but he is as hard-nosed as they come. And if he's not afraid to talk about it, or whatever, he, you know, to address it, and then, like, again, there's no one that should be, you know what I mean? Like, there's no shame, no matter who you are. And if you look on all these, you know, famous people, athletes, movie stars, whatever, they all got shrinks.
Yep.
They all got therapists. They all got all of it. And they got all the money in the world. They don't have a whole lot of, you know, they don't have money problems, that's for sure. But they have their own problems. No matter what state you're in, you're going to have some kind of, you know, issue that maybe somebody else can help you with.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And I wrestled Rob's son, Shane, Mr. Ping, on Saturday. And we all, because, you know, Rob hurt his shoulder. And, you know, we always check on each other. You know, you good, you know. And I called Rob, and he was actually on the way to a ring, or he was at a ring rental in Harrisburg somewhere. I forget where it was, but it was for Revolution Wrestling Federation or something.
I think that was at Hack, I think.
Yeah, it was Mal Havoc runs it.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking, and, you know, we always just, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I don't have kids, but, you know, a lot of the guys, and Rob's one of them, that, you know, I watched Shane grow up from the time he was a kid, you know, and I said, I'm so proud of him and his boys, how they, and like I said, everybody gets in their little, I got in trouble. We all get in trouble. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, you know, I was an angel, anybody's an angel, but I'm so proud of how they conduct themselves. And, you know, seeing Shane just had a baby, how good of a father he is, and, you know, and seeing him, you know, just grow up, like they're growing up and they're grown and they're handling their business and stuff like that. But yet still, on the same token, as hard as they are, because Rob makes them be hard. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you that. He's still open to and willing to take care of, you know, if he has an issue, you know, dealing with it. You know what I mean? You can't just, oh, it'll go away, because it's not. I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof. It don't go away.
Yep.
You're living proof. It don't go away.
You can try to bury it as much as you want. There's so much dirt that's going to, you know, cover that. But at the same time, you planted a dark seed that's just going to grow and grow and grow and get worse.
You know, and it snowballs.
Yeah.
It snowballs just, because your problem creates a problem somewhere else that creates a problem at home that creates a problem here. And that, you know, to a certain extent, that's life. I'm not saying, and I think part of the reason why men don't go about getting help is because sometimes the system is abused by people trying to get, you know, something. And I think they think that, oh, well, you know, I don't think I'm trying to just get, you know, whatever, you know. Going to see a therapist or going to see a psychiatrist is not going to give you automatic like disability, or it's not going to give you anything except maybe some help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times once you start going, you see the toxic people, it brings out the toxic people in your life.
Yeah.
It makes it clear who is maybe you didn't think was toxic before, but they're not helping you get to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say it's like taking your garbage, putting it in a bag. Instead of taking it out to the trash can, you leave it in your kitchen. There's no point. It's already done. Get it the hell out of there. And then you learn to get them. Once you get rid of them toxic people, it even becomes a little bit more easy to deal with, because you don't have people saying, oh, you're fine. I'll knock it off. Well, I don't want to hear that, or, you know, whatever, you know, like that. Once you get rid of that, then, and you have people in your life that are more understanding about it, then it's like, oh, okay. Like, now I get it. You know, I have a support system.
Yes.
So once you have that support system, now you're even further along. People think that, oh, they want me to take a pill. Well, okay, if you need a pill and the doctor thinks you need a pill, if you take it as prescribed, it might help you. Try it. Okay, so I'm not a big dump pills down people's throat, but sometimes you need something just to take the edge off. And it's not a big deal. Trust me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I take them. You know, and it is what it is. You do what you got to do to make, you know, but if I didn't take them, I wouldn't be in a good state, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes everybody needs a little bit of help. And most people say, oh, well, depression, it's just because you're not happy. They don't realize it's either like a chemical imbalance in the body that causes it. I mean, it's your dopamine levels that are down, and everyday stress. I mean, you have a stressful day at work. You come home, you unwind, your body just goes, well, there's so many other components going on in the background with that at the same time. And it helps, you know, even if it's just, you know, 25 milligrams of Zoloft or whatever they put you on, do it. Give yourself that opportunity to let your mind and body repair. And I think a lot of guys don't give themselves a chance to do it. You know, subsided with alcohol being a big one. I mean, you can numb those feelings till, you know, day's end. But the next day, I mean, you're going to feel like shit because you already put your body through hell. And those same thoughts and feelings are going to be there. You're never going to run away from it. If you think you're going to run away from it, you're never going to be able to.
No.
You know, you're never going to be able to. And I wish a lot of guys would understand that. You know, you can, they always say, oh, face your fears. But it's the biggest fear of all for guys to get help when it comes to this. The biggest fear, because of all the things we talked about, being called a pussy, feeling like it's not going to work. You know, we have to break that cycle. We have to break it. Hey, guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out.
Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
I think if the more, like I said, if one person gets anything from today, from our, you know, podcast here, I hope, you know, it'll be, everything will be worth it, you know. And like I was, you know, talking to you before, you know, I'd like to see, you know, in on somehow or whatever level, you know, this be a thing where maybe, you know, we do one, you know, a scheduled thing every so often, you know, depending on how people perceive it. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, like I was secretive about it for a while. And then, you know, I figured, you know, once I seen somebody else hurt, and I'm thinking, well, maybe if I tell him I'm doing it, maybe he'll feel, you know. And I think along the way too, there's a level of maturity, and I'm immature. I'm 47 going on 11. You know what I mean? But I mean, I think there's a level of maturity that has to come with it, where you understand that some people, no matter how you explain it to them or whatever, they're always just going to have their little, you know, little comments or whatever. Like I said, take the trash out, you know. But I think once you become comfortable in the fact that you admit you need help, you take that first step to get help, and then it becomes a routine. And then you get your routine. Like when I do my treatment plan, part of my treatment plan, and I mean, I've been going to the gym since I'm 12. That's my thing. But part of my treatment plan is that I am to continue going to the gym on a regular basis, because that brings me mental clarity. And it brings, it's, you know, my social activity or whatever you want to call it for the day. You know, it makes me feel good. You know, I don't go to the bars no more. I always tell people I never made it to the big time in wrestling, but I acted like I did. You know, we drank a lot, but like it just, you know, as I got older, it just, you know, it kind of ran its course and
it fades away.
Now everybody, you know, but I see guys that are dealing with things, first thing they turn to is the bottle.
Yes.
And the next day, like you said, ain't shit changed except the bottle's empty.
And bottle's empty and you feel worse than you did the night before. I've been there too many times. When you're having those moments, like, so you're going through your depressive state and you don't feel like getting out of bed. With a lot of people that are depressed, they get those moments where they're like, fuck it, I don't feel like doing anything today. What do you say to yourself mentally to get yourself up and moving?
You know, honestly, like, I go through them here and there. And honestly, like, once I take, if I feel like, how do I explain it? Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, because you're laying there and you're like, I'm done for today. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, like, I think to myself, I know I got two dogs that I got to get up and I got to make sure they're okay. So I got to come downstairs and let them out. So I'll get up and I'll be like, I got to let my dogs out. Now, excuse me, by no means am I saying children and dogs are the same. But I know I got somebody else relying on me, something else relying on me that I got to take care of.
There's another living creature out there that's dependent on it.
I'll take my phone and I'll take my charger, because that's, you know, the only thing I take to bed with me. And, you know, and I let them out and I refuse to go back up. So I will start, you know, I will make something to eat and I'll eat quick. And then I get the hell out of the house, because when I stay here, this is my comfort zone. When I stay here, I'm comfortable here. When I get out of the house, as soon as I leave this house, if I go to the car wash, if I go to get gas, if I do anything, or I'm lying. Before I do that, I shower. I was always told whenever you shower, that makes you feel better. And then I will go do whatever I got to do. And then when I come home, I'm a little better. And I know that when I go, if I'm going to snap out of it, I got to go to the gym. So I come home, I start making my stuff. As I'm making my stuff to go, getting my water bottles ready and my vitamins ready and everything else, I'm starting to feel better. When I'm out the door and on my way, I'm feeling better. When I get there, I'm feeling better. After about 20 minutes into my workout, I'm good. I'm out of it. I come home and then I feel stupid for, getting in my own head. It wasn't anything that happened to me. It was just me being in my own head. So I would say find that one thing, but no matter all the research I've done and all the, self-motivators and everybody that, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a, bodybuilder, powerlifter, strongman, CrossFit athlete. Doing physical activity releases endorphins, the feel-good endorphins in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That itself will, the gym changed my life. It will change anybody's life.
Yeah.
If you're, and you don't have to go 7 days a week for 9 hours a day. You do your thing. You know what I mean? But that's how I get out of it, and that has worked for me for a long time,
You stick to your guns and you stick to your routine and it helps you get through.
I need routine. Because if I don't have routine, they say the idle mind is the devil's playground.
Yeah.
That's me. That is me.
Same.
So I
get same.
Gone. And a lot of us go through the same things. We have a lot of things in common. And we, with the exception of the little bit that we know of each other, We don't know each other for years or anything, but still it's the bottom line and the precursors to everything that we both gone through are the same, and they're going to be the same for just about everybody else too.
Yep. All symptoms of what we deal with are very, they may not be the exact same, but they're very similar to each other in how it all works. One thing I was reading the other day, it was about anxiety. It stated that a lot of people with anxiety have a tendency to go back to their comfort things.
Yeah,
watching old shows because they made him feel some type of way. Sometimes it's little things like that. If you notice you're doing that, maybe pick a different show. Don't pick something that you've already watched 10 million times. Sometimes it's just baby steps with that for people. Some people for the ones that don't go to the gym, I always recommend going to the gym, staying healthy and fit. But to people that aren't into it, sometimes those little routines and your changes or changes in your routine can help. Sorry, I was getting a little tongue twisted with my words there.
Go for a walk. Like, take your dog for a walk or go for a walk or do something, but don't get out of the area that you feel is like where you're comfortable. Too comfortable to move, because it is. And if you don't have it, you don't understand it. And that's a lot of times how when I was first coming to realize that I had an issue. You know what I mean? Was that, I didn't want to do the things that I wanted to do all the time.
Were you getting anxiety attacks where it almost borderline panic and you'd feel like
I panic attack. I spent, and this is kind of funny now because it's old, older. I was to the point where I would go to the ER, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, I got everything, right? I had a blood pressure machine. I could have given physicals here at my house. I had so much junk there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember one time I went to the ER and the nurse, I knew the nurse because I was going so much. And I knew him from taking, inmates there to the hospital if they had to, go on a hospital run. And the nurse called me. She just called me back. When I went in, she just called me back. And she sat me down on a bed. And she goes, "Chad, what's up?" I go, "You know what's up." I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm afraid my blood pressure's, through the roof, blah, blah." And I have high blood pressure, but it's not it's not high, high, it's, you know, whatever. And I was like, listen, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, okay. She goes, I'll take your blood pressure. And she took my blood pressure, and it wasn't that of a marathon runner, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. And the doctor comes in and he says to me, I guess he had enough of my shit. So he said to me, he goes, Jared, I want you to look around here. He goes, what do you see? He said, I see a lot of people who are sick. He goes, yeah, and you're not. He said, so get going. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
He goes, take that blood pressure machine and all the rest of your toys when you go home and throw them out. When you go for your physical, let them take it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that to me was like that stern, like I need that. Like if I have the, oh, you're going to be okay, buddy, and all that stuff, that don't work for me.
It would still linger.
Yes. Kick in the ass, knock it off. You're fine. Go about your business, you know?
Mm.
But, you know, I guess like I took panic attacks, and that's how I ended up starting to go to the ER, because the first time I took one, I was like, man, I remember I was driving home from the gym and I stopped at a stoplight, and out of nowhere, I could barely breathe, nothing, yep. You know? And I came home and I was, you know, just a mess, sweating and everything. And then the next day I went to work, I was good. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call. And they got me right in and they did the EKG and all. And they checked, they said, yeah, it was a panic attack. I said, okay. They said, your heart's fine, you know, everything. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I got away with, you know, that one was okay. But then I'd have another one. And then having them tell me, of course, that it was a panic attack last time. Well, that was last time. Maybe that's not this time. So I go,
again. Exactly.
You know, I was a real pain in the ass.
I still remember the first panic attack that ever hit me. I'm like gripping my chest. I'm like, I'm only in my 20s. How the fuck am I having a heart attack right now? Like, yeah. None of it made sense. I'm like, let me get to the hospital. They give me an Ativan and say, guess what? Welcome to your first panic attack. It's just the anxiety that got you. And it built up. And people don't know that anxiety and depression can take those effects on your body where it, to the point where you feel like you're having a heart attack, like your body goes into survival mode because your mind's telling it something else. And then when the doctor put it in that lights me, I was like, that makes perfect fucking sense. That makes perfect sense right there. And I think that's a true misconception for a lot of people. They think, it'll go. And it doesn't. It takes its physical toll.
That's right. And that one doctor explained to me that you could be fine. The reason why you're fine, sometimes you're fine and they come on out of nowhere when you're not even having any issues, is because it could be something that happened yesterday, earlier in the day before. You're like subconsciously still, you know, waked out or whatever, you know, and it affects your body goes, like you said, into that fight or flight thing. And, you know, but these are all things that men need to realize. You're not alone. Like this shit happens to everybody, you know.
You are not alone.
You know, whatsoever. I'm hoping this, you know, like when we came up with the suplex, the stigma thing, you know, like my intention is to take the platform, you know, that, you know, pretty much everybody loves pro wrestling, and, you know, and being that I was involved in it and are involved with it. And it's one of the proudest things I've done, you know, and, you know, I think if I hate to say, like, put a little catch to it, but like if people see that it's not like the devil, it's not like something that could be, it's something that could be, you know, really, you know, something that could really benefit a lot of people, you know, and, you know, like you can really, you know, you gotta do your own thing to get past that stigma of, you know, being a baby, not being able to handle anything, being a pussy, knock it off, all that other stuff. to, you know, taking control for of your own life. You got to take control back from.
Yes. Yes.
Once you do, you know, you're going to have days where that's bad. You're going to have days where you have bad days, but that's all they are at that point, because you have the help. And if you need more, you pick up the phone and say, hey, listen, I need to talk. I need whatever. And you know, that number that you had before, you know, or, you know, most places, employers have the employee assistance program where you get so many free visits or whatever like that, you know. There's always someone willing to help.
Shit, man. If there's anybody out there watching this right now, I have the Bartender's Jukebox page. I mean, if you're going through a shit day and you just need to get it off your chest, send me a message. Get it the fuck out of you. Let's move on to another day.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I'll keep it anonymous. It'll stay between us. You know, it's everybody needs an outlet in one way or another. And the number is 988. I know it's the suicide hotline, but it's more than just suicide. It's for anybody that needs help. You're having a rough day. You're going through it. Text 988. They'll get right back to you, and you can go from there. You can talk to a therapist. It's not going to cost you anything whatsoever. No insurance. So if you're stressed out saying, I don't got insurance, I can't do this, I can't talk to nobody, the help is out there for you. Just know you are not alone. Not alone.
Yes, and that's information's key. And that's hopefully, you know, a lot of good information. You know, I feel like we did some good today on this. I'd like to do it again. I'd like to have maybe, yes, sir. even if we had, maybe, my buddy Rob could come on. We can argue a little bit.
Yes, sir. Maybe we could do a suplex Sundays or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like I think right now I'm hoping, you know, and like you said, we have the stickers now. That's, we're going to start with stickers. And then, you know, me and you will talk, you know, maybe about some t-shirts and stuff.
Yes, sir.
You're going to mail me some of them, right? So I can.
I will make sure you have a stack of them, my friend, so that way you can help get the word out.
Because I know a couple of people hit me up already about them for their cars and stuff like that. So I think they're going to go over well. I think, you know, maybe we'll look at some t-shirts and we'll look at some things like that. But, you know, I think, you know, that's probably a good start to getting the word out and, you know, start helping some people. You know, I mean, if you can help somebody, help them, you know. It's not like you're doing, you're doing God's work. Help somebody. Because I'm afraid of karma. I'm deathly afraid of karma. And I know I've done enough bad in my life. It's time to do some good. You know?
Yeah. Definitely. So we hit the hour mark here. This was Ox Hog here on the podcast with me. Again, if you'd like to get these stickers, it says Suplex the Stigma with Men's Mental Health on there. We can do this together. You know, we can only be the spokespeople for so much. It's up to other people to want to join and start breaking down those walls and really breaking the silence on the stigma of men's mental health, because we're all in it together. And like I said, if you would like to do, you know, maybe a Suplex Sundays or something like that, we can make it a regular thing at least once a month.
So I think it'll be great.
Definitely, we can, you know, and just go from there. But thank you for everybody that's tuned in for us here. Again, this is Ox Hog. Check him out. I know I showed him the banner. He was fighting the barbed wire. But my man here, he's helping us break the stigma of men's mental health. So,
well, thank you very much for having me. And like I said, we'll be in touch. We'll work some things out. And do some business, and we'll move forward with this. And hopefully, like I said, if we helped one person today, that's great.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. Thank you again for your time, man. I greatly appreciate it. And everybody out there watching, stay thirsty for life. Cheers.
If you never need to reach out and talk to somebody, you can text 988. It's the Suicide National Prevention text message hotline. We all need to talk in one way or another, and I know myself, especially being a man, we all get locked in our heads. We need to break that silence and the stigma that men are not allowed to talk. Remember, it's 988 if you're ever feeling suicidal or just need somebody to listen. Again, text 988.
I was so hard-headed at first. My grandma didn't even believe in me. I kept going, though. All I can say is I told you. Jury at the bank down the vault. You should have never doubted me. I'ma work to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you should have never doubted me. The pain and the struggle followed me. My daddy never that bothered me. And these cold streets made a man of me. Knew a time it'll come, they doubt me. Had to keep them OGs around me. Keep a young, young homie grounded. You never know where your motivation to come from. We do the most with these bras and pop sundown. They try to push you aside, you gotta fight some. I had a line on the side and now we buy guns. I want that number one spot, I'm like Icon. I got that beast in my eyes, I'm like Tyson. With my heart and my drive, I know I'm righteous. Keep some ice in me, rocky, rocky like bad boy. Once you win, 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 you gon' want more. Set a tree and tree and tree and need an encore. I was down on my last when I found myself. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I came from no quarter waters. Every nigga in my gang unemployed. You fuck around, you must spawn a gang war. I got an old girl and a transporter. Steppin' is a habit, I got Zans on me. I'm riding in the flame, keep the fan on me. Catch me whippin' up Musang with them bands on me. I'ma kill the competition and I'm playing for keeps. You see water drippin' off me, then catch it. I turn nothing into something, now I'm living. You neglected me, you know you shouldn't have did that. They was counting out, you know you shouldn't have did that. You didn't recognize my drive, shouldn't have did that. Now I'm fighting every day, I won't get it back. I just wanna be the champ for the misfits and the one that was saying I couldn't do it. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I'll be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. Who knew I would take it to a whole nother level? Who knew I would race it with the heart of a rebel? Shout out one checking for me, mama one checking for me. I hustle every day just so I can spend a check on you. You my dog to the end, I got so much respect for you. I watch you give up on me, but I never lost faith, did I? You didn't ever hold me down, and I bought a new safe tonight. Paper plates flushing in their wraith tonight. I'm built with a new reputation. Blood, sweat, and tears in my new foundation. Obama on my main line, I can run the nation. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I'll be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got tears in my eyes. My dreams all I got and I'll die for it. If I love it with a passion, I'ma ride for it.